fire on the earth. Our Holy Father has said the church is missionary by her very nature. The church exists to evangelize. He's called for a new springtime of evangelization. To help us obtain the tools each of us needs to answer the church's call, this is Fire on the Earth. Here is our host, Peter Herbeck.
Welcome, friends. This is Peter Herbeck. We're here again today with John Kazanjian, who's been a guest all week. If you haven't had a chance to tune into the program, you could go to our website at renewalministries.net. The programs with John are archived there. You can listen to them on the computer or download them and put them on your iPod, listen to them when it's convenient. Well, we've been talking this week about unbound ministry, a simple prayer model that helps people really come into deeper freedom as sons and daughters of God, overcoming habit patterns of sin and struggle and things that might bind them, that really help equip them to fight the spiritual battle to be able to come into greater freedom as sons and daughters of God. And so I asked John to come back today and share with us just some stories that he's experienced in the ministry, the kind of thing that the Lord does in the hearts and minds of brothers and sisters who really step forward and say, you know, I want to come into deep freedom and I want to really step out and get the help that I need to get there. So welcome back, John. And
thanks, Peter. Glad you could be here. Love to be here. Really do. Peter, you know, I just want to say at the start of the show, I have not missed a show of yours for years. I download them to my phone every week. They automatically happen on a podcast catcher and I listen to them sometimes two or three in one day and have to catch up. But I just love your show, and I love what you're doing, and I'm so grateful for all the ways you're serving the Lord.
Oh, thank you. Praise the Lord. Yeah, well, that's all we need to talk about today again. No, I'm just kidding. But anyway, so we're going to talk a little bit today about just your experience and kind of what you see the Lord do.
Well, first of all, whenever I start on stories, Peter, I always say the names are changed to protect the innocent, like Joe Friday from Dragnet. When I was a boy, we changed some of the details of the story, not to compromise the efficacy of it, but to really protect the identity. Because whenever we do sit down with somebody to pray with them, we say, look, what you say here stays here. We might use it in the future to glorify the Lord, to speak a story. Or if you want to say it, talk about it publicly, you can. But we're not going to do that. We're going to give you our confidentiality. And therefore, people feel safe when they sit down with you to tell their story, because oftentimes they're telling you things that they have never told anyone before. I was listening to Father John Ricardo recently on one of his sermons. I download his sermons as well and listen to them. And he said, look, there's nothing we haven't heard of in the confessional. And at this point, I think there's nothing I haven't heard either. I have learned about things that I wish I had never learned about. I have heard about things that I wish I had never heard about. But there's a way in which, by listening to people, by them feeling safe to open themselves up to you, God is able to work in a very powerful way. And I'm going to tell you one recent story about a priest that I was praying with. And I had done a conference for a group of priests, and I had invited any of the priests who wanted to come and receive prayer. So he came and he sat down and we were in a little chapel, and he started talking about just growing up in his family. And he just loved, and he had a great dad, great mom, great siblings, and he just loved them dearly. And it was obvious, though, as we were speaking, that there were some things that his dad had done when he was growing up that had really hurt him.
This is a priest who came forward during that.
And he had just never thought about forgiving his dad. Yeah. And it's just something, as I said earlier in the week, you grow up with this sense of your dad. He's just such a good man, a loving man, a wonderful man. And what happened was not that serious, but he had just never even thought about it. And so I led him through some prayers of forgiving his dad for not being there at times and for not making him and his siblings a priority. He had made other things a priority. And when we started praying through those forgiveness prayers, he just started to weep. And I was really surprised, because this is a really holy priest, a really bright guy, a guy who, when you sit down and talk to him, you think God's taking you places. And he just started to weep. And I said, Father, what's going on? And he said, I've never done this before. I never realized how powerful it could be. And then when we got to the last key, the key of blessing, we were in a chapel, we were in a Eucharistic chapel, and he just fell prostrate before the Lord. And I was just sitting there, and I felt like I was in the presence of something very holy that was going on, a communion between he and the Lord. And I said, Father, I think it's time for me to leave. And he said, I think I just got my life back. And I thought, wow, exactly. I could be a part of this. That's what I was thinking. God, you're allowing me to touch the life of somebody who's going to touch so many lives. And the next day he came and stood before a group of 150 people. First, the priests at the retreat that we were at, and then in front of 150 lay people. And he gave testimony to the things that the Lord had done in this prayer time. And I thought, this is pretty amazing. I mean, who am I? What am I doing here? The Lord needs to do something sometimes in your life to build your confidence, to show you that you have gifts, you have something to give. I had led him through something that I thought was so simple and I thought wasn't going to be that profound as we were going through it. But it was tremendously effective and profound. That's just one little example. Another one is this a young woman that I had prayed with a few years back. And she could have been one of my daughters, Peter. I've got five girls. She was married for a few years, had a couple of kids, had gone through some of the ordinary struggles that a young married mom would go through. And again, I felt like there was nothing major here. You know, she had never gotten herself into really serious trouble, but she wanted prayer and she really felt like she was struggling and there were people that she couldn't forgive and there were things that her husband had done to hurt her. And even though he was a really good man, and I knew the guy, she knew that there were just things that he had done to hurt her. And we prayed through the keys together and we got to the point of that prayer of command that I talked about yesterday. And I said, now I'm going to pray this prayer over you. And I want you to just be aware of what the Lord is speaking to you. And I said, in the name of Jesus, I take authority over every spirit that Sally has renounced. And I command you to leave right now, just like that, in that tone of voice, very quiet, very calm, very peaceful. And Peter, she screamed and she jumped. And I thought, oh my goodness, what happened? I hurt her. And I said, what's the matter? And she said, they're gone. They're all gone. I said, what's gone? She goes, I don't know what it was, but they're all gone. And she started crying. And I started crying. And my intercessor, the mom that was with me, not her mom, but this other mom that was with me, started crying. And I just thought, God, you're so good. You're so wonderful. You do things with us, through us, for us. This beautiful child of God, you know, Peter, that's the kind of thing that's been happening. And it doesn't always happen that way, but I have never prayed with a person who I've ever walked away from. I can say this, I have now prayed with thousands of people, I'm sure of it, who I didn't walk away from and say, the Lord was there. He really was there, and he was changing them, and he was blessing them. And as time has gone on, and I think we're going to talk about this more tomorrow, the main person he's been changing is me.
And isn't that the way the Lord works, John? You know, he changes us. And even the people, we've said this to each other a number of times this week, you know, that when we are prayed with, when we come into greater freedom, sons and daughters of God, the Lord is doing it because he loves us. He's committed to bringing us to wholeness, to becoming saints, to be everything we're meant to be. And he brings healing to us. But he also does it because he wants us to go and to extend that mercy and love to other people. And as you enter mission, which is what you're doing, he keeps the healing process going on inside.
That's
you
right.
At the same time, as you kind of give yourself away and trust in him, as he prompts you to step into those things the Lord's calling you to do, he is faithful and he just keeps taking you deeper and deeper.
Right. So, well, Peter, look, anybody who has ever reached out to anyone knows this. What you give is really what you get. And you'll get as good as you give. And when you give, when another person calls me or another person emails me and says, John, would you sit down and pray with me? I think, wow, it's going to take at least an hour, maybe closer to 2 hours. I've got a lot going on in my life. I need my time. I've got a lot of demands and so on and so forth. But every time I sit down with somebody to pray, Peter, God visits. He visits them and he visits me. He teaches them and he teaches me, because where two or more are gathered in his name, he's present. Every time we get together with somebody to listen to them, to talk to them, to reach out to them, to love them, the Lord is going to be present there if you invite him in. And when we sit down to pray with somebody, why are they sitting down to pray? Why are they even committing their time to it? Because they're saying, I'm desperate. I'm in need of help. Is there someone up there that can help me? Does the Lord have anything to say to me in this situation? Can the Lord heal me? That kind of vulnerability in people is really tremendous. I mean, that's a really big deal. We don't like to be vulnerable. We don't like to open ourselves up.
And those principles, biblical principles, they're like eternal laws. You know, the Lord humbles the proud and he lifts up the lowly, the humble, those who cry out to him. If you knock, I'll hear you. You know, if you seek me, you'll find me. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what ends up happening in moments like that, is those moments of vulnerability, is that people just honest, raw heart cry to God to say, Lord, I want to be free. Lord, I want to let go of things I'm holding on to that are holding me back. I don't know how. All of that, you know.
Yeah, and Peter, I think what people need to remember is this is just what is considered in the church as ordinary deliverance. This isn't exorcism. You can see from the examples that I've been talking about is we're not coming into kind of hand-to-hand combat. We're not even making a decision about whether the person is possessed. It's not the kinds of things we're talking about here. Yes, people get into some really ugly and scary things, and there are people that we say, I think I need to refer you to the diocese to get some priest from a prayer, and maybe you need to speak to the exorcist. I want to refer you to the bishop for that. But the types of things that, and this is what the diocesan exorcists who we've spoken to tell us, which is 99% of what we get could be referred to you guys. And a lot of the people that come to us for prayer have been referred to us by their priest or by the bishop's office to say, we think this is a person that could use unbound prayer. And so I really want to distinguish here that we don't want to go where we don't belong. Mm-hmm. We know that we have certain authority. We know that people that experience oppression, people that experience habitual sins, these are the kinds of things that we want to pray with people through. When people get into stuff that's really ugly and we know they're out there, and thankfully it's not a very large part of the population, especially in the church, that's not our realm of authority. And although we find ourselves in those situations, we can immediately say, look, the Lord's going to take care of me and he's going to take care of this person. My responsibility right now is to love them and to listen to them and to get them the help that they need. And maybe that's not us, that's not me.
Yeah, and the church has that full array of authority and responsibility to be able to, and the gifting to help people wherever they are. And I think one of the key elements of Unbound that I think is so effective is it is a tool and a way of helping people, as we've been saying all week, take authority over their lives. And, you know, Scripture is very clear on that. You know, be clear, be sober, be alert, take action, gird up your loins, that kind of thing. The idea of, I don't have to live as a slave. I'm not powerless. In Christ, I have all the power that I need to be able to take authority over my life and enter in a new level of freedom as a son and daughter of God.
That's right. You know, Peter, in one way, you're learning to take authority over the things in your own life.
Yeah.
You're recognizing that the Lord has given you authority. He gave authority to the 72, not just the 12. And there are many places in Scripture where we don't have time right now, but we could talk about where he gives us authority, and we need to take that authority.
No, that's really right on. John, thank you so much for sharing your experience today. I know you could spend an entire week just telling stories. Now, friends, if you want to know more about Unbound, you can contact us at Renewal Ministries. You could also just go on Amazon. The book Unbound is there. You could order it and read it. But I've asked John to come back. He's going to be back tomorrow and just talk about his own journey and how he got into this in the first place, because the Lord is calling all of us to engage the new evangelization in some way. So I hope you can tune in tomorrow. God bless you, friends. Have a great day.
This has been Fire on the Earth. It's heard here Monday through Friday at this time. Our host has been Peter Herbeck, Vice President of Missions at Renewal Ministries. You can contact Peter or listen again to this program on the web at renewalministries.net. Fire on the Earth is brought to you by Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, in this year of mercy, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, St. Francis Used Words. St. Francis is really a model of mercy, and he communicated that mercy through both deeds and through words. And Pope Francis reminds us that each one of us is called to do the same. If you'd like a copy of this free booklet, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789.